Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We are going to go right in today and from John Kilpatrick, Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church in His Presence, who released this prophetic word, and you've got to get it. We're going to make it available to you, actually how to get it, on the VFN Torch. But today you're going to hear an entire prophetic teaching on Psalms 83. We've been talking about it all this week. We've been talking about, hey, this stuff's going, whatever happens to the natural in Israel is going to happen to the spiritual in the church. We're talking about, you know, releasing these dreams from heaven that Rick Joyner had had, and you know what's taking place, and how what we have to prepare for, and understand: ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. And so we need to begin to pray for Israel. And this is a very exciting thing. First of all, is he's going to talk about, you know, Psalms 83, which maybe you didn't even think about Psalms 83. Maybe we're thinking more about the prophetic word, you know, Ezekiel. But this is different. We talked about just yesterday on the program. You can catch it at VFNTV.com. But we talked about how everything's coming together in the caliphate, which means all the Arab Muslim nations are coming together. And it looks like that, you know, they're thinking one thing. God will let you believe what you want to believe to go where he wants you to go so he can do what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And like they're going to try to do something to Israel. Don't worry about Israel. God's going to take care of Israel, but God's about to do something magnanimous. I mean, magnanimous. For this entire program, we're going to join Pastor John Kilpatrick of Church in His Presence, and just stay tuned for this entire program. You want to pay close attention, and we're going to make available to you where you can get all three teachings. There's a land grab coming in Israel, and God's one going to be grabbing land.
That's right.
Let's join him now.
Chapter 83 of Psalms. I'm going to show you something that I think is really an eye-catcher. Let me read Psalms 83, verses 1 through 5 in the King James Version. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those that hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people, that's Israel, and they have consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come, and let's cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. And they have consulted together with one consent, and they form a confederacy against you. Now, that's interesting to me. Hold your place there just for a minute. That word, they form a confederacy against you. If you'll take Psalms 83 and look, and I'm going to break it down for you. I'm going to show it here on the screen for you. It said they form a confederacy. Every one of those nations that's in this confederacy that comes against Israel in Psalms 83 and says, let's wipe them off the face of the earth that they will be remembered no more. It's not Russia. It's not Ethiopia. It's not Germany. It's not Libya. Every one of them are Arab nations. Every one of them. I want to make this clear before I get started, okay? This is just to preface everything that I'm going to say. Number one, I don't believe that God hates the Arabs. I believe that God loves the seed of Ishmael, and he loves the seed of Abraham. The seed of Isaac. He loves Isaac and Ishmael. He loves them both. One is Jewish. The other is Muslim. Or the other is Arab. And Ishmael is the son of the bondwoman. Isaac is the son of promise. Whenever I preach the word of God, I make no apologies. I want you to understand today, I'm going to be emphatic. And I make no apologies for what I preach. And I tell you the reason why I don't make any apologies is because I'm going to preach the Word of God. You know, and when you preach the Word of God, you can't back up. Listen, God is not politically correct. God is not politically correct. And God knows I'm not politically correct. Never have been, never will be. Oh. But I want to speak to you today on the Psalm. And I would say that this psalm is probably going to come to pass in the very near future, probably quicker than any of us in this room can even realize. I want to also say this before I get started. We're right now in a blood moon season. First blood moon happened on April the 15th, and the next blood moon will appear on Rosh Hashanah of this year, which will be September. And there'll be another blood moon next year around Passover, and then another blood moon that will end it up in 2015, right about Rosh Hashanah. It will be Rosh Hashanah. And it'll also be a supermoon. It will not just be a blood moon on Rosh Hashanah, it'll be a supermoon. Now, I told you last week, and I didn't have time to talk about this a lot last week, but I told you last week that things are progressing about like I thought they would. Now, that doesn't mean anything, because I've been wrong. But whenever I first thought about the blood moons, the first one being in April, I didn't think anything was going to happen on that day. I thought that blood moon was going to be a sign, but I didn't think it was going to be a catastrophic event happen on that day. But I felt like it was going to be a sign, like an opening salvo. And sure enough, now here we are in August, and Israel is in a major battle. This battle has gone on with Hamas longer than they have fought with another war. This has been deadly for Israel. It's also been deadly for Hamas and for the Palestinians. But here we are in August now, and this is happening. But not only is that happening, but now you've got Russia. Russia is now in a Cold War stance against America. President Obama has put sanctions against Russia, so we're in a Cold War stance again, that's for sure. But one of the things that really makes me think that all of this is about to come to pass that I'm about to read to you is not only do you have Russia backing Iran, and they have said that if NATO or any other allies attacks Iran, that it will be an opening war with Russia. They've also said that if we deal with Damascus in any way that Russia doesn't agree with, that they will get involved and it will be another world war. That may be just bluster, but it could be the truth. But right now what you have is you have a lot of things in motion, and this needs to be talked about. You've got ISIS right now that's really plunging all the way across Iraq, working their way toward Baghdad. They're working their way up toward the Kurdish population. This group, ISIS, as everyone has heard, is so vicious. Even Al-Qaeda says they won't have anything to do with them because they're so violent. Now, that says it's pretty bad right there. But here's what they're doing, and I know you've seen some of this on television, but ISIS is actually killing Christians now. They're not talking about killing Christians, they're killing Christians. And what they've done lately is they have corralled a bunch of Christians, and they have already killed hundreds of them. And they're even taking little girls and beheading the little girls in front of their mothers and fathers so the mothers and fathers can see it. And then they're raping the mothers so that the children and the husband can see it, and then they're killing everybody that's left over. It's vicious. This is not warfare. This is demonic. And you need to understand, listen everybody, this is not war. This is not bullets and guns. This is not machetes. This is demonic cloud covering the Middle East right now. That's why I'm preaching to you the way I'm preaching to you this morning about Psalms 83. Now, not only do you have ISIS, but you have Iraq, but you now America's bombing again in Iraq, but now you have Damascus, you have Syria, you have Egypt that's been in major turmoil, and you have Hamas, you have Israel, Gaza. You have many, many things in motion right now that leads us to know that there is really a swelling of major supernatural powers that's trying to snuff out Israel. I want you to look in Psalms 83, and before we do that, let me read my text. Here's what God said. The Lord said unto Abram, get out of your country and out from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I shall give thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them, God said, that bless you, that is Israel. I will curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, let me just introduce something here to you right quick. I don't understand why the news media can't read that and believe that. I don't know why they keep trying to trap the Jews and trap Israel and make them look hedonistic when they're only trying to protect their population. I don't understand why they can't read that scripture in the Bible and understand it. It leads me to believe that the media probably has some spirits going on within it also. I said it leads me to believe that the media probably has some spirits stirring around in the media to come against Israel in a verbal way, not just salvos and mortars and rockets, but it's verbal salvos. And it's a spirit that's crept in even across in all. When you look and you see anti-Semitism today and they're destroying cafes and businesses in France and they're marching in Chicago by the tens of thousands in favor of Hamas right here in this country, it leads you to know that that's not normal. That's the spirit. And that spirit is trying to take this nation over also. I would really admonish the president and his cabinet to be strong and stand with Israel, because our survival as a nation depends on that. Amen. Have you ever looked at something through a telescope or through a pair of binoculars, or maybe just looked at something over the horizon and you see something coming? And at first it's way off and it's real small. And when you see it coming, it's like you know something's there and you know that it's coming, but you can't make out what it is. And as time goes by and as it keeps approaching and it keeps encroaching, all of a sudden you're beginning, well, that looks like so-and-so, that looks like this. And as it keeps coming and getting closer, after a while, you don't have to guess anymore. Now you see it. Psalms 83 does that for me. Psalms 83 that I'm going to read to you, I think has been coming over the horizon for decades. But now, in the frame of way everything is framed in the Middle East right now, now I see Psalms 83 sort of coming up close enough that I can say, whoa, I see some definition here. I see something's going on. I believe that Psalms 83 could be something that's about to happen. I told you before, and I'll tell you again, that the blood moons usually is a precursor for Israel, that things really look bad at first, but it turns, and it really turns out to be a blessing. It turns out to be something good for Israel. I think that's exactly where we are right now. I think that right now things look bad, but I think that the potential is there for things to really turn out really good for Israel in the near future. So right now, I also can tell you that I know that people in the church and people in the ministry and people in the body of Christ are really going through battles. How many of you could just lift up your hand and say, Brother Kilpatrick, I have really been fighting a spiritual battle. Look at this, all over this building, all over this building. Just hands everywhere. And I'm sure the same is true at home. People have been fighting spiritual battles. It's like when Israel in the natural is engaged in miscommunication and battles and misinformation, it's like that same spirit in the natural with them comes in the spirit to the church. And the church starts going through the same kind of a battle in the spirit, not in the natural. Israel is strictly in the natural. Ours is in the spiritual. And it's warfare. But I want to tell you, Israel is about to come into a major blessing, and so is the church. Amen. Here we go. First thing I want to say is about Psalms 83, is Psalms 83 is not Ezekiel 38 and 39. It is not the war of Gog and Magog, which you will find in Ezekiel 38, 39. That's the war when Russia and all of its allies come against Israel. Now, I want to point out several things that I'm going to say that will lead me to know that this is not the war of Ezekiel. This is probably the war of Psalms 83, There's several reasons why I say that. Number one, the Bible says that Israel is dwelling safely, and they're not by any means dwelling safely today. In the book of Ezekiel, when that war takes place, when Russia invades Israel, the Bible says they'll be dwelling safely. Everybody look at me. How many of you knows they're not dwelling safely right now? They're not. They're battling for their very life. Their inhabitants are having to run to storm shelters every 15, 20 minutes some days. They're not dwelling safely. And the second thing is, Ezekiel 38 and verse 11 mentions unwalled villages, dwelling safely, no bars or gates. Everything is not safe in Israel right now, and they are dwelling behind bars and gates and even in storm shelters. Ezekiel 38 and 11 says, thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest. Israel's not at rest. Them that dwell safely, they're not dwelling safely. All of them dwelling without walls and neither having bars nor gates. That's not the case today. So that leads me to believe that this war is not ready to take place just yet with Egypt or with Russia coming down with Iran. The third thing that I want to say is Ezekiel 38 and verse 12 mentions that the enemy comes to take a spoil. Today, Israel really doesn't have much wealth. It has exports of all kinds of fruits and vegetables. The desert has bloomed. It has a large export. It has olives. It has different things like that, but it doesn't have great wealth. Now, they have determined that there's probably a lot of wealth under Israel in the Middle East, both natural gas and oil. And they have not yet got that wealth, but they say that it's there. So the Bible says that the enemy comes to take a spoil in Ezekiel 38 and 12, but Israel today has no real wealth that an invading nation would want to come in and capture. It's just not there. Chapter 38 and 12 says to take a spoil. There's no spoil to be taken in Israel right now. Number four, in Ezekiel, the countries that come against Israel, if you'll notice, are not Arab. Look at this. The countries that come against Israel are mainly not Arab. The countries that come against Israel are Russia. Russia is not Arab. Iran is not Arab, contrary to what you may think. Iran is Persian. There's a difference between the Persians and the Arabs. Iran is a Persian nation, but it is not Arab. Libya is African, and the Bible says that Libya will come with Russia when Russia invades Israel. Libya is an African nation, and Ethiopia is also an African nation. And Germany is European. So you don't see any Arab nations coming with Russia when Russia comes to invade Israel. There's no Arab nations, they're all absent. Now, I have this question. That's what I want to talk about today. Reckon why, when they come to invade Israel, there's no Arab nations mentioned coming against Israel with Russia. Reckon why? Let me show you. In Psalms 83, here's the Confederates. The tents are the tabernacles of Edom. It said the Ishmaelites. It mentions Moab. That's the third one. The fourth one is the Hagarines. They came from Hagar. Jebel is the fifth one. Ammon is the sixth. Amalek is the seventh. Philistia is the eighth. Tyre is the ninth. And Assyria is the tenth. Now, let me show you who these are. The tents of Edom are the Palestinians and the Jordanians that's in the southern section of Jordan. The Ishmaelites are the Saudis. Ishmael is the father of the Arabs. Ishmael is the father of the Arabs. That's the Saudis. Moab is the Palestinians and the central Jordanians. You've got to understand, look this way just for a minute. You've got to understand when you're looking at these different sects, and you're looking at these different groups of people, these people settled by tribes in different geographic areas, just like Israel did. Israel settled by tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. The Muslims and the Arabs did the same thing, except they didn't settle the same way Israel did, but they settled in clumps. So you see the tents of Edom is the southern Jordanians, but you see that Moab is the central Jordanians. They make up the population of Jordan in the central geographic area. The Hagarenes is Egyptians. And Hagar, of course, is the handmaid that Abraham went into, Sarah's handmaid, and she's known as the matriarch of Egypt. So that's the Egyptians. Jebel is Hezbollah and northern Lebanon. Ammon is the Palestinians and the northern Jordanians. Amalek is the Arabs of the Sinai area. Tyre is Hezbollah and the southern Lebanese. And Assyria is the Syrians in northern Iraq. Now, I want to get right down to business this morning. There's a lot of different places that affirms Psalms 83. You ever looked up in your Bible and you saw something in your Bible and it has a little small type next to it where it has a relevant scripture? Well, the scriptures that goes with Psalms 83, is some of them are found in Jeremiah, and some of them are found in Zephaniah, and some of them are found in other areas of your Bible. They're information that's written by other prophets. Some were major prophets and some were minor prophets. And Zephaniah happens to be one that really divulges a lot of information about Gaza. Now, you know, and I've told you this before, that Israel was in charge of Gaza. That was their possession. That was their territory. But President George W. Bush made them give it up. And I remember whenever he made them give it up, at that time, the prime minister was Prime Minister Barak. Do you remember him? And he said to President Bush, he said, if we give up Gaza, he said, all they'll do is use it to fire missiles at us. And his words came to pass. And I know that President Bush probably has to see all this today and realize that he made a mistake by making them give up land. Now look this way, everybody listen to me carefully. Whenever the 12 tribes of Israel, that's the 12 sons of Jacob, they were known as the 12 tribes of Israel. All those 12 different tribes were known as the 12 tribes of Israel. They make up the nation of Israel, the tribes. God gave the tribe, God gave to the tribe of Judah, Gaza. Gaza was land that was given to Israel, to the tribe of Judah, which is praise. But they took the mountainous part near the sea, but they never took the valleys. They didn't take their full possession. Are you listening to me? One thing I'd like to say to you is this. Don't ever take partial what God gives you. Take it all. Because listen, here's what the Bible says. It says, give no place to the devil. And you, if you don't take what God gives you, and you don't appreciate what God gives you, and you don't fully possess what God gives you, the devil will take what you don't use or what you don't appreciate, and he'll use it, and he will come against you, and he will torment you and be a pest in your life. So here's what I'm saying to you. If God says to Judah, Gaza's yours, take it all, lock, stock, and barrel. So God gave Judah to, or God gave Gaza to the tribe of Judah. But look at this with me. Zephaniah the prophet prophesies that the time will come when Philistia, Moab, Gaza, and Ammon will homestead own land that God specifically gave to the Jews and to Abraham as their homeland. But these Arabs will actually be homesteading on that land. And here's what God says in Zephaniah. It says, before the decree brings forth, before the day passes as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, and before the day of the Lord's anger. Now, let me tell you why I put that scripture in there. Let me tell you why I underlined before the day of the Lord's anger. That's Armageddon. The day of the Lord, when you read about in the Bible, the day of the Lord, that's Armageddon. Here's what the Bible says through Zephaniah, the minor prophet. It says, before the day passes, as the chaff. And let me say this also. Well, I'll cover that later. It says, before the day passes, before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger, that is Armageddon, comes upon you. Now look at verse 4. Gaza shall be deserted. That seems to indicate that whoever is the prime minister and the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, are not going to be willing to put up with any more nonsense about their people having run into bomb shelters. They're going to go in and clean house. So what Psalms 83 is this prayer of Asaph crying out and saying, God, Israel is surrounded by Arabs that hate us and want to get rid of us and destroy us off the face of the earth. They want genocide of the Jews. God, don't let them do this. Rise up and do something about it. And so that's what exactly is going on in this psalm, Psalms 83, is that the Arabs are now rising up, and you see ISIS involved, and it's only a matter of time before they swoop down out of Iraq and they come right down through Syria, they come right down through Jordan, and they're going to try their best to get rid of Israel, along with Hamas and Hezbollah and all of them. But oh my God, I wouldn't recommend that. I said, I wouldn't recommend that. Because God is about to rise up and he's about to defend Israel in ways that you can't begin to imagine. We'll see things that our eyes have never seen. We'll hear things our ears have never heard. Our mouth will fly open and we will say there is a God that defends the Israelis. Can you shout amen? It says the seacoast will become the possession of the remnant of the house of Judah. In verse 7, and it says, on which they shall pasture, and in the houses of Ashkelon they shall lie down at evening, for the Lord their God will be mindful of them and restore their fortunes. In other words, Zephaniah is saying this territory is going to come back into the Jewish possession. Quite a different picture the Bible paints of what Gaza is going to become, not what it is right now. See, friend, listen. God's word is true, and what God says will come to pass. Not what President Barack Obama says or not what John Kerry says. This is what God Almighty says. Are you listening to me? And the IDF will eject and evict Hamas from ancient Philistia, which is Gaza. And that will be a sign, according to Zephaniah, that the day of the Lord is near. It will be a sign. Listen, some of the things that you're about to see come to pass, some of the things that you're about to see come to pass on your television will be definite clues for Gentile Christians and Messianic Jews. It'll be definite clues that the day of the Lord is approaching. Be ready. The Lord said, when you see these things coming to pass, lift up your head. Don't get depressed. Don't get down. Don't get discouraged. Lift up your head because your redemption is drawing near. Now watch this. Now what God said here in Psalms 83, what Asaph said here in this prayer was, he said they have consulted together with one consent. Psalms 83 and verse 5, they have consented together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. This is what the prayer is. Lord, they're forming this Arab confederacy against you. This is against you, God. Now, I want to show you this one more time. I've shown you this many times, but I'll show it to you one more time today. Maybe you're a visitor here today, and maybe you're not used to the ministry of Church of His Presence, but I want you to see this so you can always remember this. When God promised the land to Abraham, this is what God swore. Now, look this way just for a minute before I show this. You know and I know the scripture that I'm about to put on the screen, Israel does not possess right now, but God is not a liar. And if God promised it to Abraham, I promise you, the children of Israel will have it before the Lord comes back. And that tells me it's got to be very, very close. Israel is about to expand, and Israel is about to get land like you can't begin to imagine. Look in Genesis what God said to Abraham. He said, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, and he said, to your descendants, Abraham, I have given this land. Now, what kind of a landmass did you give to the Jews, Lord? He said, from the Nile River of Egypt to the great river Euphrates, which is in Iraq. Give me a, show me on the screen. I want you to show me on the screen, if you will. That's what Israel is right now. Just a little slice. And you see up there on the north part, right up there by Lebanon, you see that little north part up there? That's Gaza, that whole area up in there. The Gaza Strip. They had to give that up. They don't even own that anymore. It's just a little slither of property. But here's what God said. He said, I'm going to give you the land, and to your descendants, the Jews, I'm going to give you the land from the Nile in Egypt to the Euphrates in Iraq. Let's see what that looks like. Look at that. Now look with me just for a minute. That goes all the way over. You see the Nile over here in Egypt? You see the Nile over there on the left-hand side? You see that? That blue line on the far left-hand side of your screen? That's the Nile. You see the Euphrates up on the far right-hand center of your screen, up by Turkey and Syria and Iraq? That's the Euphrates. God said, I'm giving it to you from the Nile to the Euphrates. And look what it all involves. Syria is in there. A lot of Iraq is in there. Parts of Saudi Arabia is in there. Jordan is in there. You've got other countries that's involved. And here's the interesting thing. This is why I'm preaching on the scripture this morning. They're all mentioned in Psalms 83. They're all in Psalms 83. Whenever the Arabs are defeated and God rises up and they're trying to wipe Israel off the map, the IDF is going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and they're going to conquer Hamas, Hezbollah, and only God knows what else will surface, ISIS, and what else besides that. When that's all destroyed, Israel gets all that land and the promise that God made to Abraham will come into effect almost overnight. Now, God, you got to remember, he will destroy the fighting forces, but there's a lot of good people in Palestine. Just like in Iraq, there's a lot of good Christians in Iraq. God's not against those people. And there's some of those other tribes, God's not against them because they're not violent. There's people in Saudi Arabia, there's people in Iraq, there's people in Iran that the Lord loves. And he has a people in all nations, you know that. But God is going to destroy the fighting forces. That's going to say we're going to wipe Israel off the map. That's the ones that the Holy Spirit is going to empower the IDF to go in and just clean house. And I mean, it will be clean house. But I want to talk to you about Damascus for a minute. It says, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. The city of Aurora are forsaken, and they shall be for flocks which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. And that's another good-sized city right there up against Damascus. Now, everybody look this way and listen to me carefully. If you go into Los Angeles, you go about 100 miles, 115, 20 miles, and there's San Diego. In the Middle East, Damascus and Amman, Jordan, are about 100 miles apart. Damascus and Amman, Jordan, are only about 100 miles apart, so we're not talking about a big major difference, distance. But Damascus is a big city, and Amman is a big city. But the Bible says that something is going to happen to Damascus that it will absolutely cease from being a city. Well, you know that right now, Damascus is a city. Now, if the Bible says that Damascus is going to cease from being a city, it doesn't mean it's going to lie in waste for 2,000 years and have a resurgence. It means that it's going to be destroyed and it will never be inhabited again. That hasn't happened. So whenever this big event starts happening of Psalms 83 and these Arabs start coming against Israel, the Bible says there's indications in this scripture in Isaiah that Damascus will plunder a few cities in Israel. And you know as well as I do that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that whenever they plunder a few cities in Israel, Israel is going to go into Damascus and plunder the big city of Damascus. Because what you do to Israel, it's not grace, it's law. Grace is grace, but you fool with Israel, the apple of God's eye, there'll be swift retribution. And the Bible says, the Bible indicates that it will be Israel that will destroy Damascus. And the Bible says that it will cease from being a city. So one of the things I want to tell you while you're not with me during the week and I can't be with you, is you're watching the news, just remember this. Those of you watching by television, please remember this. More and more now, you're going to hear about ISIS encroaching. You're going to hear more and more about Damascus. You're going to hear more and more about the breakdown with Russia and Putin. You're going to see about the coalition. You're going to hear about the confederacy and the coalition between Russia and Iran and Syria. That whole thing there, exempt of Russia, that whole thing is going to begin to try to start moving in against Israel and try to wipe Israel off the map once and for all. But Damascus will be totally destroyed and never inhabited again. Gaza will be destroyed, and the Bible says they will leave Gaza. In other words, they'll leave it. It won't even be habitable anymore. And Israel will go in and turn the concrete and the steel, get rid of all that, and make pastures out of it and make meadowland out of it. Look, I want y'all to listen to me and don't get mad at me, okay? I'm just telling you what God says. I'm not being political. I'm just telling you what God says. If you're mad, don't get mad at me. Get mad at God, okay? I'm telling you what the Bible says. But here's what the Bible says. It's going to be such a monumental battle, and it's going to be so supernatural in its complexity. But here's what the Bible says. It says, in that day, a man will look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect for the Holy One of Israel. And he won't look anymore to the altars and the work of his hands that his hands built, and he won't have respect of that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. In other words, the false gods. Now the world will know there is a God in Israel, and his name is not Allah, his name is Jehovah. Look at this. Come on, shout amen. They're going to look to Jehovah. There is a different friend. Jehovah had a son, and his name is Jesus Christ. Allah is not God Almighty. He is some kind of whatever, but Jehovah is the Lord God, and there's only one God. I wish somebody helped me this morning. I feel like giving some three cheers to Israel, like hip, hip, hooray, you know. Woo! Glory! Glory! Come on, church! Woo! I can see it now. Damascus is completely destroyed. Other nations are completely destroyed. People are laying out there in heaps by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. And Israel survives. And all these nations have fallen. And people's going to begin to put two and two together and connect the dots and say, you know, Jehovah must be a mighty God. Allah is in the dust. But look at Jehovah. Look what he's done. Look at the Jew. Look. Woo! And so what the Bible is saying here is, listen, somebody says here a while back, they said, oh, I wish, glory to God, I wish we could see some stuff like they used to have back in Bible days. Well, you just hold your cigar, friend. You just hold your cigar. Take a big puff off of it. Because God's getting ready to do some stuff that even the nations will say, whoa! So the destruction of Damascus will affect all of mankind. It's a major city. And it will happen between, here's what I was telling you a while ago, it happened between sunset and sunrise. Look at Isaiah. Look at this. Isaiah 17, 14, it says, behold, at evening tide, trouble, and before the morning, he is not. Don't you like that? Come on, help me somebody. My God. Look at that. It said at evening time, there's trouble. And before the morning, who, what, when, where'd he go? This is the portion of them that spoil us and the lot of them that rob us. In other words, they're no more. They're gone. They're over. They're history. Listen to me, friend. Listen to me. We're about to enter, even as a church, we're about to enter into a time where what the devil has tormented us with will be... Oh! It'll be over and done and finished. Be finished. Just over. Listen, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Right now, Israel's going through hell. Right now, some of you's going through hell. But pick yourself up by your bootstraps. God is about to do great things.
These are exciting days. Wow. Oh, my goodness. You can see why we've dedicated this entire program to the deliverance of that prophetic word that Psalms 83 explains this whole week as we've been talking about, you know, what's taking place and explaining the caliphate and how these things are coming together. And it's just like, you're just organizing all that land That's around right. Israel, America's true friend in the Middle East, so that God can show himself mighty. I mean, think about this. This is a powerful, powerful thing taking place. And I just want to encourage you. I want you to just lock your faith in and realize God's about to do something magnanimous. I do want to encourage you to, you know, if you haven't yet made a decision to follow God through his son, Jesus Christ, today's the day. You want to be on the magnanimous side
of that. That's right.
Because whatever happens in the natural happens with, whatever happens with Israel happens also to the church. And understand, it looks like things are surrounded. It looks like, you know, all this push is happening against the church. But you understand, God's God. God is going to do something magnanimous. It's like you said. And so we wanted to be able to just bring this home this week, you know, as I shared with Brother Kilpatrick, we wanted you to be able to bring this thing home because he explains prophetically, you know, what's taking place. So it looks like, and this is, I mean, if you haven't yet heard, hopefully we'll make that a related segment to this, that, you know, God does his most awesome work when it looks like your back is against the wall. And quite often I think he does that because we weren't looking up, you know, we weren't. But understand this too, that this is a sign that our Lord is soon to return. This is a sign of our Lord's coming, that things are happening quickly. So we have to shake off all the religion. We got to get in relationship with God. And as we always talk about it, you know, disciples make disciples. So we got to first become a disciple.
That's right.
And if you haven't yet gone to Multiply Movement, I encourage you to go there and begin to just start this journey of discipleship and be found about the Father's business when he returns. You know, Jesus said, he said, you know, when I return, I want to make sure you're feeding my folks. You know, he said, of all the things he could have said, you know, to his disciple when he was saying, you know, what about John? You know, and he said to Peter, he said, you know, feed my sheep. And so the big thing he wants us to do in all the world is to go tell them about who he is and what he does. And think about this. This is a perfect time to begin to prophesy now what God's about to do. So when they do see it, they'll remember and they'll ask you, how did you know this? And you're going to say, it's God. It's written in his word. It's Psalms 83. And what's happened, you'll see a huge harvest. I believe the greatest harvest the world's ever seen is going to be coming in to the kingdom of God. And we got to be ready for it. And the harvest is God wanting us to make them disciples of his, which means, first of all, I think we have to be a disciple.
Right.
And which means we follow Jesus. We do what Jesus did. We actually look in the word of God and see what he says and then we do it. And I know the Multiply Movement has a great, great area laid out to be able to begin to do that. Also, we have some things at the VFN Dream Center as well. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Don't be downcast. Realize the reason why we say what we say on a VFN TV and the data radio program is to encourage you to understand, yeah, we can look at the facts. We can look at what's going on. But we also say, but God. You know, we talked about many, many times, you know, about Abraham was the father of faith. He faced the facts that he couldn't do what God said in his own strength, but he didn't waver in his faith. You can look at all these things going on, and you still can have faith. Don't have faith in any political party. Don't have faith in a world system. Don't have faith in your job. Have faith in God. And when you have faith in God, we can be just like Abraham when all of a sudden, against all hope, in hope, he believed, and he became exactly what God had for him to be, which is the father of many nations. I mean, think about it. The lineage of Israel that the enemy is fighting against today, that this whole program has been about, that is the promise of God coming to pass because Abraham, against all hope, in hope, believed, and so become. It's time for us to be hopeful and realize we only talk about what is to let you know that our God is greater than our circumstances, that God is greater than all these negative broadcasts of hopelessness that you see scattered across the media circuits out there. And that's why we're here at VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. We want to keep the conversation light, give a biblical perspective of what's going on, not just the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. That's what you get right here at VFN TV. God bless. Don't forget, you can get a lot more about what we're talking about, including getting this land grab series from Pastor John Kilpatrick. Go to johnkilpatrick.org or go to vfntv.com. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfntv.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at vfntv.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at vfntv.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.